The good news is, wasn't that great? Thank you, choir. The bad news is, I don't know if I can preach now. Y'all might be glad for that, huh? Just give you a little bit of a break today. So, yeah, I don't know how much voice I have left after all of that. So, I think that's me popping there, Joe. Is it? I'll try harder. I don't know what I'm doing, so... yeah, thank you so much, choir. What a powerful children's church. Children's church. Your leaders are at the door. Do y'all know how terrifying that is when you look and everybody's going? Like, it makes me want to go, get out quick, right? Yeah. That was probably a warning to me. You better let those kids go or you've had it. Right? Yeah. Yeah. Thank you guys so much. What a sweet service this morning. Just a lot of things for us to just get to focus on our Lord and to worship Him. And some of you guys are like, I don't know how He's going to get through all this morning. He's going to try to preach. We're going to do Lord's Supper. We've got all these things happening. Lots of announcements. And just believe me, we're going to do it. I just believe we are. If you have your Bible with you this morning, go ahead and be finding Acts, the 16th chapter, Acts chapter 16, and we're going to be in verses 16 through 34, a story that I do not know, Joe. I don't know what I'm doing here. Okay, perfect. I'll stay hinged right here. How about that? All right. All right, Acts chapter 16. We're in a series of messages that we are calling Unshakable. This is the third series in that message, and want to continue to kind of move forward with just the direction that I feel like God is taking us right now. And I'll just say it again, that I feel like that in our day and age, at this time in which we're in, I feel like there couldn't be a more relevant or appropriate series of messages for us to focus on. I don't know if you're like me, but week in and week out, there are so many things that are shaky in our world. So many things that can rattle us, and even as Christians sometimes can leave us wringing our hands and wondering how things are going to go and how things are going to turn out and how to step into that fray. And so I'm thankful for the series of messages we're looking at. We've been in several different places in Scripture, just really looking at the foundation that Jesus has laid for us, what we can kind of plant our feet in to give us stability in the midst of the kind of shaky world that we live in. We've been reminded of that in the book of Hebrews. We've been reminded about it from Jesus' words and the story that He told in the book of Matthew that we looked at last week. And this week, I want us to go just a little bit different direction and kind of dig into this in the little bit of time that we have this morning. I want to talk a little bit about what it looks like in the life of a believer when all around us things are shaking, but we're not. What kind of a powerful witness and testimony is that? When all around us, listen, shifting sands, when all around us things are shaking and the world is uncertain and men and women around us, maybe in our neighborhoods, maybe even in our families, maybe people we work with, when all around us, they are quaking at the things that are taking place in their life, and we're experiencing some of those same things, and yet we don't shake. What is that? And what kind of a powerful witness that can be? I shared this statement with you a couple of weeks ago from Matt Chandler in a book that I suggested to you called Take Heart. As a matter of fact, get that little book. It's a quick read. Get it and read it. And in that, he talks about a lot of the struggles and the things that we're experiencing in this day. And this is a rather lengthy quote, but I think it's a great statement and one we've kind of been talking about in the past few weeks. And so I want to go back to it and look at it again, and maybe you can pull some things out of that this morning that will really speak to your heart. Matt Chandler says in that book, Take Heart, he writes this: when I look at the cultural landscape, the political situation, the economic situation, the racial divide, global terrorism, the numbers leaving the church, the growing hostility toward God's word, I begin to feel afraid, Chandler writes. I get that impulse, but we can't sit in fear. We can't let this fear grip us and cripple us, robbing us of our joy and holding us back from living faithfully and holding out the gospel. It's okay to feel fear. That's normal. That's human. We're weak and frail, but we must not stay in that place. We must move beyond it. We must learn to lean on something bigger. We must find something greater that transcends it. Or rather, we must learn to lean on someone greater. And I feel like that's a great statement for us, isn't it? Isn't that a great statement for us just to kind of plant ourselves in and realize that that's exactly how, in the midst of this shaky world, we learn as believers to navigate that. That is that we have to believe and firmly plant ourselves in the fact that we are leaning on someone greater, something bigger than what shakes this world. We've talked about what that is the last few weeks in our focus passage, which is Psalms 46, verses 1 through 3, that beautiful prayer. And I believe it's a prayer of confession, but it's also a prayer of admission of how we may get through this life unshaken by the things around us. And the psalmist will write this: God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling, we will not shake, right? We get it. We get the picture. I believe that Psalm 46, 1 through 3 ought to be one of those verses that we look at every morning. We remind ourselves that we are about to step out of our front door into a world that's very shaky. And God, I know that you are my refuge and you are my strength and you are present with me whatever I face today. And though everything else around me may give way, I will not shake, I will not quiver because of you and who you are. What a great admission. And I believe that when I think about that psalm, I think that's good news when you think about that in regard to us. And I know that it was certainly good news and something that these believers in Acts chapter 16 were holding on to in the story that we're going to be looking at this morning. And I want you to see this because it's so powerful. It just almost lays itself perfectly into the series of messages we've been in. And I want you to hear it this morning. And here's what I want you to think about. I want you to think about our title this morning, third in the series of Unshakable. Think about that. When everything around us shakes and we don't, this is a picture of what that looks like. Acts chapter 16, if you've got your Bible there, follow along with me. It's a lengthy passage again to read. I'm going to begin in verse 16. We'll talk about it a little bit because I'm kind of jumping into this in the middle of the story. But we'll talk about what's taking place here. Acts chapter 16, beginning in the 16th verse. I'm going to read on down to verse 34. You follow along. The words will also be on the screen. Here we go. Now it happened, as we went to prayer, that a certain slave girl possessed by a spirit of divination met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune telling. This girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, who proclaimed to us the way of salvation." And this she did for many days, but Paul got annoyed, let's just say it. Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And he cried out at that very hour, came out at that very hour. And when her master saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities. And they brought them to the magistrates, and they said, "These men, being Jews, exceedingly trouble our city. And they teach customs which are not lawful for us, being Romans, to receive or observe." Then the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. And having received such a charge, the jailer, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking from his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. But Paul called out in a loud voice, saying, "Do yourself no harm, for we are all here." And then he called for a light, ran in, and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas, shaking. And he brought them out and he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" So they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household." And they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes, and immediately he and his family were baptized. Now when he had brought them into his house, he set food before them, and he rejoiced, having believed in God with all of his household. Think about that. Think about that. When all around us, things are shaking, and we don't, that's what happens. What a powerful testimony to us. You see, in the series of messages, we've been reminded week after week that we live in a shaky world, right? We live in a world that is uncertain, a world with all kinds of things that happen all the time. And sometimes we don't have answers for all those things that happen. We've talked about how we can lay the foundation for our life so that we don't have to shake. We've talked about that. We've talked about how God wants to be our refuge. He wants to be our strength. But what we haven't talked about is what that looks like when we're able to do it well. And this morning, when I look at this passage of Scripture, I just want to hold up Paul and Silas to you as an example of what happens when the rest of the world shakes and we don't. I'm going to tell you that God's power is unleashed when you and I as believers don't shake right along with the rest of the world. I mean, there's something there. There's a powerful witness there. There's a powerful testimony there. And I want us to see it this morning as we look at this passage of Scripture in the little bit of time that we have. I want to walk through this pretty quickly, and I want you just to take some notes. Because here's what I believe that God desires for your life. If you're a believer here today and you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, listen, all around you there are going to be trials. There's going to be difficulties. You're going to face shaking moments in your life. But listen, what we've been saying for the past few weeks is you don't have to shake. You can find a foundation in Jesus. And if you're willing to step into that, and be that kind of believer that's not shaken by all of those things around you, but is planted firmly in your refuge, listen, some powerful things can happen in your life. And here's what I want you to see. Ready? Jot these things down. Number one, when things around us shake and we don't, God is glorified. Just think about that. When everything around us shakes, and as Christians, we don't, God gets the glory. I'm going to say that because of this. Now, think about this with me just for a second. The truth of the matter is, my life is shaky. Folks, let's face it, we're dust, right? I mean, things attack us, things happen around us that shake us. I feel shaken almost every single day. The only thing that keeps me from shaking is not Buddy. It's someone or something greater than me. You get it? The only thing that keeps you tethered in the midst of this uncertain world is Him. And when all around you things are shaking and yet you don't, guess who has to get the glory? Him. And that's what our lives ought to be lived, right? Our lives ought to be lived to the glory of God every single day. And that is that no matter what happens, we have an answer. We have a hope. We have an anchor. There's someone we can point to that says, listen, when everything around me is sifting sand, I don't have to be shaken by that because of who my God is. I love that. I've shared this with you before, and I think about this so often, but I pastored through this time, so it's always on my mind. Remember back to September 11th, years ago, that dreadful day when those planes flew into the World Trade Center. And within a matter of hours, they collapsed. 3,000, almost 3,000 people were killed. I still remember as a pastor at Silo Baptist Church in Oklahoma, the reaction of people around me. I remember that. I remember that the panic that set into this country. Listen, we were shaken by that. We still haven't gotten over that as a country. Listen, everything's changed since then, right? I mean, if you don't think so, just go to an airport and try to get on a plane, right? Everything's been changed since then. I mean, the whole world was... I remember my kids were young, and they were at a softball game in a town nearby. They didn't even know what had happened. They drove back that day, and there were cars lined up at gas stations to get gas because they thought the end of the world had come, right? I mean, people were shaken. They didn't know if we were fixing to be invaded by a foreign country. We didn't know. People were shaken. And I remember the next Sunday, our church was as full as it had been since I'd been there. And I was there 10 years. I mean, there were pews were packed. There were people everywhere coming to church. Why? Because people were shaken. And listen, I always believed, and I said this to Nancy, and we said this to our kid, listen, we don't have to shake like the rest of the world at this. God is still in control. He is still on his throne. And the only thing I know to do, listen to me, when your life shakes, is to plant yourself in him. Glorify him. Now, you say, well, where are you getting that in the passage? Because look at this. I want you to think about how shaken you would have been if you had been in Paul or Silas's shoes. I mean, just look at this story and think about the things that are going on around it. I read a lengthy passage there. So here's what happens. They're in the town of Philippi, and there's a demon-possessed girl following them around. Get that. She's demon-possessed. And finally, Paul gets annoyed at it and casts the demon out. Now, I'm just going to tell you that if that's happening around you, it's probably going to scare the bejesus out of you, right? Right? That's pretty shaking itself. Then they get in trouble because this girl who's been exploited by those around her to make money, because when he casts the demon out of her, they lose their moneymaker and they get mad. Drag them in to the marketplace, begin essentially a riot. If you've ever been in the middle of a riot, you know that's pretty shaky, right? That's scary. I mean, things can quickly get out of control. And the mob becomes inflamed, and they strip Peter and Silas of their clothes, and they beat them with rods. The Bible even says to us, they beat them severely. And then the officials tell them, take them to prison and put them securely in the innermost prison. And their legs and their hands are fastened in stocks. You know what stocks are, right? I mean, they can't move. Their joints are stretched out. They're in pain. And what are they doing? Praising God. Singing hymns of praise to him. Is that amazing? That's amazing when I read that. I want to go, you know, God, I want to be like that. When life around me shakes and things quiver, I want to be like that. I want to be a person who points to you and says, no matter what's happening around me, I yet am going to praise the Lord. I yet am going to glorify him. And I'm telling you, listen to me, Christian. Whenever things around you shake and you don't, point to him. He's the one who gets the glory. You ready? Here's number two. You ready? I told you I was going to go fast. Time's slipping away. We got to get there. You ready? Here's number two. When things around us shake and we don't, Satan is resisted. Is that a different way? God gets the glory. The enemy doesn't. When everything around us shake and it doesn't shake you apart, because listen, he wants nothing more than to shake your faith. He wants nothing more than do you say, well, this doesn't work. He doesn't want your witness strong to a world that's looking for what you have, that's looking for hope and answers. And when the world shakes and we don't, not only is God glorified, but the enemy is resisted. His plans are defeated. He's not going to get the glory. And I look at this story and I go, you know what? God is all over the pages of this story. And so is the enemy. Right? I mean, the enemy is there, destroying that young girl's life. And God, Paul and Silas, breathes hope into that girl's life. And it doesn't go, well, listen, Satan doesn't like it when we mess with his plans, right? So you know what happens? Satan means it for evil, right? He throws them in the deepest dark caverns of a prison, thinking this will shut them up. And what I think he did was he just moved the revival from the streets to the prison. That's it. Because I'm going to tell you that whenever life gets shaky and everything around us shakes and we don't, the enemy's plans are defeated. He wants to take you down. So that's why people like Peter tell us to resist him, to run from him. Listen, because he wants to discourage. He would like nothing better than to shake your faith, to keep you off kilter. I mean, we've just spent weeks, right, preaching through the armor of God, talking about the spiritual battle that we're in, the spiritual warfare. Listen, the enemy is waging war on you. And if when that war comes, you stand victorious in him, fully clothed in the armor of God, listen, God's going to get the glory and the enemy's going to be defeated. And I believe that's the truth. I don't know who you are as a Christian, but I'm going to tell you, listen, you stand strong in the Lord no matter what's coming in your life, and the enemy will flee from you. He can't stay around long. And here's something else I want you to think about. I believe that when Paul and Silas were in that inner jail and they began to praise, I think Satan immediately knew he was defeated, because he cannot stay around where Jesus' name is being lifted up. Jesus himself said in John 12:42, "And I, if I am lifted up, then will draw all people to myself." You see, they just began to praise and glorify God. And when they did that, they knew, oh guys, listen, we're done here. And I just think, what happened? What happened when all of that began to break loose? There's a song that was sung years ago by the Imperials that I just love. It's probably my favorite Christian song. And it simply says this. Listen to these words, okay? They're not on the screen. This is just Buddy. And I love this. It says this. When you're up against a struggle that shatters all your dreams, and your hopes have been cruelly crushed by Satan's manifested schemes, and you feel the urge within you to submit to earthly fear, don't let the faith you're standing in seem to disappear. Praise the Lord. He can work through those who praise him. Praise the Lord, for our God inhabits praise. Praise the Lord, for the chains that seem to bind you will drop powerless behind you when you praise him. Is that what happened in the story? Absolutely. Is that what happens in the life of a believer when all around you everybody else shakes but you don't? I believe it is. I believe it. I don't know what's shaking your life right now, but listen, your God is your refuge and your strength, a very present help in trouble. And though all earth gives way, you do not have to shake. And when you don't shake, he is glorified. The enemy is resistant. Here's the third one. You ready? Got to do it quick, guys. I got 2 minutes to do this. You ready? Here we go. You got it? Third, when things around us shake and we don't, others are drawn to our Savior. Why? Because it's what they're looking for. This hurting world is grasping at straws to find hope and meaning and something that doesn't fall apart. And Christian, listen to me. You've got it. You know it. It's there. We've got to begin to stand in that. I love in this story, and I don't have to repeat it too much. I've got lots of passages, lots more here I could share with you, but I just want you to think about this story. I love this because here's Paul and Silas in prison, arms in stock, shaking things, right? And what are they doing? They're praising God, and I love what the Bible says in this passage of Scripture. I love this. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. They were taking note. The Greek word there translated as listening, your Bible may have said heard them, is a really powerful word in the Greek language that means they were listening intently. Can you just imagine the conversation going on in their minds? Are these guys nuts? Have they lost their minds? What is different about them? What is it? And I'm going to tell you, Christian, listen, the same as will be said of you if you don't shake when everything else does. What do you have that I don't have? Are you crazy? Have you lost your mind? Don't you know what's happening? And you say, yes, I know exactly what's happening, but my God's bigger. You can often hope in the midst of that. That's powerful. And listen, I believe, and I can just picture this happening in heaven, okay? So y'all just bear with me for a minute. Buddy's going to do a little extra kind of buddy-izing here for a second. Up in heaven, wouldn't you just like to have heard what was going on? I can just imagine Jesus saying to all those angels around them, hey guys, do you see what my Paul and Silas are doing down there in that prison? Their lives have been shaken. The enemy's thrown everything at them. He knows what to do. They're sitting in a dungeon in the darkest parts of the dungeon. Their feet are in stocks. Their arms are in chains. And listen to them. They're praising my name. Isn't that the most beautiful song you've ever heard? And I believe those angels got so excited and started jumping around and tumbling so much that it caused an earthquake. That's not what the scripture says, right? That's Buddy's theory, okay? What we do know is they praised and glorified God, and God sent an earthquake and set them free. But it wasn't just those prisoners that heard. You see, the jailer panicked because he knew that the crime for him would be if those prisoners got away, his life would be required for theirs. So with the chains broken and prison doors open, he just knew that Paul and Silas and all those prisoners had fled. And he was about to take his own life when Paul cried out in a loud voice, don't take your life, we are all here. Here's what had happened. Already those other prisoners that were listening had been changed. You know how I know? They didn't flee, and they could have. But not only that, did you notice that the jailer fell down on his knees and said, what must I do to be saved? How can I have the hope that you have? And not only that, his whole household was saved. You know what Scripture's telling us, right? When all around us things shake and we don't, that is a powerful witness to a hurting world. And people are drawn to him. Would you bow with me for a word of prayer? Heads bowed and eyes closed. I want that, don't you? I want that. I want my life to glorify God, and when things shake, I want to point to him. I want my unshakable life that's planted firmly in God to resist the enemy who wants to steal, kill, and destroy. And I just believe that when we begin to stand firm on this rock, this refuge that we have, others will take note. Their lives too will be changed. If that's you, Christian, listen, right where you sit, just between you and him, just pray that God, make me that one that doesn't shake even when everything else does. Use me like you used Paul and Silas to be strong in you in the power of your might. Maybe you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ. I can tell you he's offering that hope to you so that your life doesn't have to be shaken by this world and the things in this world. You can find hope in him. In just a moment, I'm going to pray and we're going to sing this beautiful song, just inviting the Holy Spirit to fall on the Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. I'm going to be here and Bethany will be here. The altar will be open. Our deacon for the week and his wife are here. If you need to come for prayer, you come for prayer. God, speak into your heart and you need to come this morning. Listen, we invite you to respond to him. He is the only thing in this life that's not shakable. Plant your life in him. Father, we thank you for the truth of your word. You be honored and glorified by it this morning. Thank you for this beautiful service, constant reminders this morning of you and who you are and what you've done for us. God, I can stand up here and preach till I'm blue in the face, but only your Holy Spirit can speak into the hearts and the lives of each one of us who are struggling and searching and have questions and doubts. So God, I turn this over to you. Have your way this morning. Give us the courage to respond to you. And Lord, we will give you and you alone the praise and the honor and the glory for what you do in this place today. It's in your name I ask these things. Amen.